It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Back to pass. Allen wide open to Cook in the left flat. Racing to the end zone. The Cook has found the kitchen. Handoff goes to Cook and he sails into the end zone for his second touchdown of the game. Handoff goes to Cook and a work through the middle, through a hole and into the secondary. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5, flips into the end zone for the touchdown. His third touchdown of the game. Steps up in the pocket, throws, has Kincaid lunging into the end zone for the touchdown. Complete to Shakir, races away from the defender, 10, 5, spins into the end zone for the touchdown.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
So, it is a football Friday. Jeremy and Joe with you. Josh Schmidt producing. Good morning. Football Friday brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash. Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Bills and Dolphins on the way. The Jets got a win last night. They beat the Texans. Aaron Rodgers, a couple touchdown passes to Garrett Wilson. One to Devontae Adams. They look like an offense that, can do a little damage. And Houston is in their dip of the season, possibly. Mm-hmm. They escaped Indianapolis last week. They just lost to the Jets. They next play
the Lions on Sunday Night Football.
They lost Diggs. Nico Collins is coming back, but Houston, a little bit of trouble there for them right now.
They might have two new receivers by that game, because if they could trade for someone and have Nico Collins back.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Like, they could be a brand new look. From what you saw last night was an offense that was revolving around Tank Dell better get open or we're kind of screwed on this play.
Yeah.
We're going to have to run the ball.
And Dell had over 100 receiving in this game.
He did. Like,
Mixon had over 100 yards. Mixon looked really good in this game as well. So
yeah, but you only had two guys.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so time for who needs to just get results. Brought to you by Dan Chacha Injury Attorneys. No worries, just results. The Dolphins do, right? I mean, we fully expect the Bills to get results. Who on the Bills needs to get results in this game is, I don't know, Cooper, Coleman, Shakir, James Cook ripped up the Dolphins last time. Josh Allen always does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm listing anybody that I want to get results, is it,
the
defensive line? Vaughn, Ed Oliver, like what?
I got an idea. I don't know how I feel about this. Is like, does he need to? Does Damar Hamlin need to get results so that there isn't a line of people ready to get a new safety by Monday?
I feel like that line is well established.
That there's nothing that could happen this week that would change their minds. Like if they had three big plays over the top, which I also just don't expect. Three big plays ago was what for the Bills? Like, they don't allow it. But if Hamlin was horrific in this game and there were Hill running by him and Waddle running by him multiple times, isn't everybody screaming from the mountaintop, like, you got to do something on Tuesday? And maybe do they take it more seriously if he were to have, like, a horrible game?
I think they...
Again, I don't even know how I feel about this.
First off, they have two people in the building that we thought would be ahead of Hamlin, right?
Right.
And Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards.
But haven't they proven they don't trust either
right,
of them?
Right, right. So I think that the fact that they're still here with this, they would absolutely entertain the idea of someone new. And if Mike Edwards isn't... By the way, if Mike Edwards is not going to play...
Yeah.
Would you cut him?
Sure.
Is that crazy?
No, not at all. They
signed MVS and gave him guaranteed money and eventually were like, well, you're not good enough. We're going to trade for somebody better than you. So
right.
I wonder if Mike Edwards is a candidate for this. I'm not sure. No, I don't think there's really anything Hamlin could do to convince them they don't need help at that position. They also could just be waiting for Bishop to be ready. And, of course, he went in for a little bit and got smoked by Nico Collins. So
yeah.
On who needs to get results... I mean, the Dolphins do. A couple of choice comments from Anthony Weaver, who is the defensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins. Give us a call on this, by the way. 803-0550. Are we too confident here? Are we all too confident about this game? It's the Bills and the Dolphins, and if you... listen, I was one to be slow to be convinced that Miami would never threaten the Bills. I've been taking them seriously for a couple of years here. I think their coach is smart. If their quarterback isn't as good as Josh, but they're putting up big numbers, that's a testament to how good the coach is. You've got a bunch of numbers on Tua and how it's coming back to earth.
For a good amount of time now. Like it's been 9 games where they're a very pedestrian offense with him at quarterback.
I am finally fully going into, all right, I will just, you know, look ahead, breeze by this game. They've come here to Buffalo in big games and stayed close in the past. Mm-hmm. I've been afraid of their offense in the past, and now I'm finally ready to be convinced that I should be confident, and I should be overconfident.
You're confident. Aren't Bills fans, have they never been more confident than this game? Like, they've owned the Dolphins, but look at going into the last few matchups. The last matchup, they were underdogs, and it was a brand-new Bills team, right? Like, we still don't really know what we have here.
And Poyer is going to show them what it takes to beat this team, because the Dolphins have been mentally soft in the past.
Right, and you're on the road, so it's like, you know, okay, that was a game that it could felt like going in. I do wonder how this is going to go. The Week 18 game last year, that game was stressful. You didn't know what was going to happen in that game. You were down. You needed to win that game to win the division. It was very live, and I would have been confident, but I wouldn't have been like overwhelmingly, oh yeah, they got this. This is a pushover game. I wouldn't have been that way going into Week 18. And then week 3 of last year is right after the Dolphins scored 70, so you wouldn't have been like, oh, they're going to crush them here.
Yeah.
So it's probably been 2 years at least since Bills fans have been this confident going into a Bills-Dolphins game. And it's because the Bills have beaten that into the Dolphins.
The thing about last year, Week 18, that we can't forget, it was stressful, but don't forget the stress was removed because the Bills had clinched a spot that day earlier.
The playoff stress.
At one point, it was possible they were going to win the division or miss.
Yeah.
And instead it became, all right, you're in either way. Both these teams are in. Now it's just for the division. Had they lost that game,
what was the result they got on that front?
I don't even remember. Somebody lost, and the Jacksonville.
Tennessee over Jacksonville. Yeah.
So the stress was removed to a degree. Now it was, where's the playoff game going to be? Who are you going to play?
But was everyone as confident they were going to win that game?
No.
Even if the stress was removed. Like, it was very much like, okay, let's see what we have here.
Yeah, I would say definitely no. So one thing I want to get to, I got two comments to get from Bills, from Dolphins defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver on this. And one thing I pulled from him kind of backs up a belief that I have, which is the Bills are, I know, in the course of a season, you have peaks and valleys. And if you want to give us a call on this, 803-0550, we'll get to calls in just one moment on whether we're overconfident. And if is this the same Bills team they played the first time? The first time these two teams played, the Bills blew them out, did it with defense.
And running.
They had short fields the whole day. And after that game, one of our takeaways was, you know, you didn't even really need the receivers to do anything. Let me pull the box score from the first game. Did Keon Coleman have a catch in that first matchup?
I don't think he did. No,
the receivers might have had 5 catches total because
they just didn't need it.
They didn't really need it. So that's one thing where
they
feel
also
like
maybe didn't have it, but we didn't need to see if they had it.
Right,
or
they
not.
Didn't need it. Mac Hollins is still playing a lot of snaps.
Right,
and one thing that I think moving forward, this is a different Bills team, in part because of Amari Cooper's presence. That is a legitimate receiver. And the other part is something Anthony Weaver talked about yesterday. He was asked about all these Bills weapons, and he went kind of one by one. And with Shakir, you could tell. He said, man, this kid is a tough matchup because we don't have the sideline to cover him as the extra defender. He can go either way. So he's talking about how the challenge of defending Shakir. And then he's asked about Keon Coleman.
His growth from when we played them in Week 2, I mean, it's been tremendous. You can see his confidence has grown, both in his ability and the quarterback's confidence in him has grown, too. Like, those 50-50 balls have now turned more into, like, 60-40 balls, which for a rookie, I mean, that's awesome. You talk about a security blanket for a quarterback. Anytime you can just throw a ball up and you think he has a chance, that's huge. So I think we have the corners and the DBs that can match up with him, both from a size and athletic standpoint. So we just have to show up and get it done.
The growth from Week 2 to what week is it, Joe? It's Week 9.
It's Week 9.
7 weeks, different player, different team. You have that receiver himself elevated to another level.
Yeah.
You have Amari Cooper replacing basically Mac Collins. Different team.
Yeah.
You think your corners can match up? So did Seattle. Right. Seattle thought that Reek Woolen could match up with Keon, and Keon Coleman, you know, took him to school the whole day.
Bills receivers, by the way, in that game, Week 2. week two. Khalil Shakir, 5 for 54. Curtis Samuel, 1 for 3. End of list.
Different team.
That's it.
They had six catches.
Their non-Shakir receivers had one catch for 3 yards.
In the Miami win. Well, that was, again, that was they didn't need it.
They didn't need it. Allen only threw 19 passes. I mean, there was the big play to Ty Johnson against Jalen Ramsey.
That's right, that's right.
Kincaid had 4 catches in the game. Cook had the touchdown catch right on the fourth down on the first drive. So he got others involved in other positions. When he's talking there, is he not? Don't you think he's talking about Jalen Ramsey? Aren't they putting Jalen Ramsey on Keon Coleman? We have the corners that can match up physically, well, size-wise with Keon Coleman. He's talking about Jalen Ramsey.
Right, and what they, again, we talked about this with Joe Marino during the week. What a lot of teams will do is take their best corner and put it on the number two guy.
Yeah.
And then bracket the number one guy.
I think you're going to be 7 weeks late on a prediction that I really liked for week two.
Which was Josh Allen's definitely going to throw a touchdown to Keon Coleman because he's going to go right at Jalen Ramsey.
Exactly.
He did
it twice last week to Woolen.
Yep.
Right? He threw a fade pass after he had just thrown a fade pass right before that. Would you even call it a fade pass? It was kind of more of a jump ball. Maybe it was a fade.
It's not even fade so much as almost like a post up. Like fade. Yeah. Fade, I feel like, is more...
Like you fake inside and then you kind of run to the corner.
It's closer to the sideline.
And he wasn't really close to the sideline.
And they really might just say...
Just kind of run ahead.
Like a jump ball in the way that a tip-off, an opening tip-off of a basketball game.
Yeah.
Hey, you two just go stand right there, just the two of you. Our guy's going to get higher than yours.
Yeah.
Keon Coleman, by the way, I don't... You know this more than I do from a fantasy football standpoint, but... One thing that is gold in fantasy football is red zone targets, and Keon Coleman is going to have a lifetime of red zone targets.
I mean, especially if the quarterback is going to trust him to throw passes like he did last week. There are not a lot of receivers that get passes like that in the league anymore. Like the fade pattern, or even that post up jump ball, like that's not that common anymore.
No, because
it's not as much as it used to be.
It's statistically a bad idea. It doesn't work that much. But if you find a guy that it works to, then let's go.
Coleman this year has 8 red zone targets, which is 13th in the NFL. It sounds like a low number, but like eight is a good number.
What's first?
Hold on 1 second. Might be a second to find that.
All right. 803-0550. One more clip from Weaver and then to your calls. The other one, you decide. I saw Ryan Talbot post this from New York Upstate. It's what made me seek out this press conference from Anthony Weaver, because Ryan pointed out, like, oh, this is a little bulletin board material for Josh Allen, because he talked about Allen, and one thing that Josh Allen will give you. You decide if it's bulletin board material, but here's Weaver on Allen.
The one thing about Josh is he gives you a chance to get the ball, right? Because he is so strong. He reminds me a little bit like Steve McNair, Ben Roethlisberger back there, where when you get there, you have to make sure you not only try to tackle him, but you almost have equally as good a chance of tackling the ball, because he just kind of hangs it out there like a loaf of bread. So I think the biggest thing is to throttle down. Let's make sure we secure and try to get the sack, and then try to attack the ball in doing so.
He will give you a chance to get the ball. I mean, last week he dropped the ball and kicked it forward to Ty Johnson. You know, you had a chance to get it, Seattle.
Yeah.
You didn't get it.
Yeah, he did.
He will give you the chance to get the ball. But whatever.
Coleman, by the way, with 8. The leader is Garrett Wilson now with 15.
Okay. Well,
Wilson 15, Kittle 13, Drake London 12 for the top 3. Coleman has the same number as Mike Evans, Deebo Samuel, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and Travis Kelce.
803-0550. You can join us. Are we overconfident on this game? John in Clarence Center. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just two quick things. You mentioned the possibility of playing Baltimore in the playoff and that we're a different team with a different mindset against them. I do believe that mindset should go with the Dolphins as well. I know it's a division game, but realistically, we shouldn't be having problems with this team. I know Tua's back, but he's going to be seeing ghosts of our defensive front four coming at him again. Second thing I got to say, one of my favorite players on this team in the past years was Cole Beasley, and I really didn't like the way he was used. And I just hope they don't have this same game plan for Amari Cooper, because I watched this guy in college, and that was a long time ago, obviously. But this guy's a stud receiver, and I hope they have some big plans for this guy, because I hate to see another Cole Beasley situation. And I'll hang up. Thanks, guys. Enjoy your weekend.
What, John, real quickly, what did you not like about how they used Cole Beasley? We're talking about like his prime, not like when he came back at the end, right?
Well, he was still a great possession receiver.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at the way Brady used Edelman and those guys there, that was gone from this team. And he was the perfect go-to guy for possession receiver. And I just think he wasn't utilized like he could have been. And I just don't want to see anything. I don't think it will be, because I think Cooper is built a lot different. But these first three games, I just hope there's a bigger game plan for this guy. That's all.
For Cooper, yeah.
I think there definitely will be a bigger game plan. I also do not think that he'll be used anywhere near what,
well,
like... I guess I just don't really get the Beasley compare. I think Beasley was used exactly like the guys you talked about.
And his career Edelman did kind of end pretty quickly once he left. Like, it did. They gave him permission to seek a trade. He didn't take a pay cut. He went elsewhere, played quickly, fell off, fell off.
How many yards he had after leaving the Bills?
70.
35.
Okay, yeah.
And actually, like 18 of them were with the Bills.
But to your point about Cooper, John, one thing I mentioned yesterday about Coleman, this is where... ideally what you get is, this is the everybody eats mantra, right? You have enough good players, the teams don't go out there and say like, oh, well, we don't know where the ball's going to go, but we don't have to worry about anybody. Instead, it's, we don't know where the ball's going to go, and we have to worry about everybody. Kincaid, Shakir, Coleman, Cooper are all worth worrying about. And the biggest maybe potential movement will be Keon Coleman starting to see any sort of double teams. Right now, he runs the highest percentage of routes in the NFL in single coverage. That's kind of getting back to that Anthony Weaver quote, where we think we have the guys to do it. They really might say, Ramsey on Coleman, and we're playing 10-on-10 everywhere else. We're going to go single. You can do it. He's not going to bust away from you. He's big and strong. So are you. Get the job done. And if Coleman continues to beat teams doing that, like he did Seattle, the Tariq Woolen, if he has a big day against Jalen Ramsey or a success against Jalen Ramsey, guess what happens next week against Indianapolis? Well, who are we going to double? What are we going to do here? Who do we want to throw help to? Is it the Cooper side or is it the Coleman side? When they play Kansas City, what are you going to do? Who are you going to leave open? You know, the whether it's Diggs drawing attention and Davis seeing better opportunities, or there's lots of this. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. You know, you got two guys outside that create enough of a problem, that might be it might just be natural that it happens, that Cooper sees more favorable matchups. I mean, if Coleman, in some scenarios, Joe, the scenario would be Coleman, they decide, defensive coordinators decide, he's their best receiver, so we're going to put our best corner on Cooper, and now we're going to double the Coleman side. I don't know that that's necessarily likely, because he doesn't separate too much, but if he wins enough, they got to figure something out. So thanks for the phone call. 803-0550. Something that slipped by me, I hadn't seen this, thanks to a couple that tweeted this in. Jeremy Fowler has reported that Mike Edwards wants to go play somewhere else.
I did not see that either.
So he slipped it into a column about trade ideas, and he wrote this, Jeremy Fowler. Veteran Buffalo safety Mike Edwards is available and would like to go somewhere he can play.
Okay.
So
he had liked something recently on social media, too, that implied that.
Someone wrote that he was sick, and the comment was, he's
sick of not playing. Yeah. I mean, fine, right? Like, him wanting to go play somewhere else, there's nothing absolutely wrong with that at all. And
no.
At the same time,
and if
I have no desire to, like, oh, I got to force him in so he doesn't leave.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a big deal at all.
If that's
he wants
the
to
case,
go play somewhere else, let him do it.
Don't the Bills want to say, like, all right, fine, it's not working for either one of us, we'll find you a home as soon as we find someone else to get in this room? And they'll hunt for a safety.
For what, to be the fourth safety? Like, how much is there a guy in the practice squad they think can give them the exact same thing?
You say fourth safety. Don't they want a starting safety? I mean, Edwards is supposed to be a starting safety.
I know.
So they would trade him away,
yeah,
and they would acquire somebody else's third, second, whatever safety, and say, this is our first safety. We think this guy in time can be ahead of DeMar Hamlin or maybe Cole Bishop, or gives us just overall make the room better, because As it is, they signed Edwards, and he is a non-thing.
How sure are we that he was just, like, automatically 100% always going to be supposed to be a starting safety for this team? Or that, like, hey, we're going to sign him, and maybe. Like, maybe they would have penciled him in when they signed him. But yeah. The guy started 28 games out of 78 in his career.
That's right. And the financial investment in Mike Edwards is...
it's low.
I make this point about the receivers. Like, what did you expect out of MVS and Chase Claypool and Mac Hollins? They're all making $1 million. Like, there's no reason to expect anything from those guys. So,
yeah, like Edwards, to me, he's a guy that you could have seen, oh yeah, this could be a starting safety for you. Does he have to be a starting safety? Like, I don't think anybody else...
they signed him to 2.8, which is a little bit of a number, but again, not that much.
Right. It's about what Rapp got last year to be a backup on the same team. He would play a little bit, right, when Poyer would go down and play linebacker.
He got pushed into a starting role.
So I guess he did play more.
And he was obviously good because he got extended and is now a big part of their defense.
Yeah, I don't know what replacing him means hey, is Lewis seen on their practice squad still? Like, can that guy just do... what's Mike Edwards doing? He's either playing special teams or he's inactive on game days.
Sean in Buffalo. Hey, Sean, good morning.
Sean, you there?
Hello, Sean, are you there?
Hey, sorry, guys. Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I'm extremely excited. It's Miami week. I'm a child of the 70s, so I grew up under the boot of Don Shula, and I hated it, right? We never beat Miami. It was horrible. But here is the upside. Now, as a 50-something-year-old man and the ascension of Josh Allen, we now completely own Miami. So in answer to the earlier point of how confident have you felt, ever since Allen had some talent around him, I feel extremely confident anytime we play the Dolphins because he absolutely owns that team. As far as, you know, Agent Zero goes, Keon Coleman, I think we're seeing the ascension of a great player. He's aided immensely by Amari Cooper's just his presence. If Amari Cooper was an assistant coach on this team, it would be making Keon Coleman a better player. And number 10, the real number 10, the new number 10, the number 10 that we have now, is so much better than the old number 10 that we used to have. Okay, he had a couple good years. The number 10 we have now, I believe, is leading the entire league in completion percentage, however they quantify it, basically not dropping the ball. And we've seen what he does after the catch. So I'm not worried about Miami in the least bit. I love this wide receiver room, this top three of Shakir, Coleman, and Cooper, and then the cast that they have that supports them. You tell me you see Mac Hollins out there. I see Gabe Davis, like the same build, crushing people in the run game, in the blocking game, and every once in a while making a touchdown catch. It's like, okay, what's Gabe Davis doing at Jacksonville for 10 times the money? I love this offense. This team's playing great. Mike Edwards, if he wants, let him go. I don't think we would miss him. I don't know, you know, if he's – I haven't seen him play that much. He was a spot starter in Kansas City. And, you know, as long as he's not – causing a problem in the locker room, who cares if he wants to trade and he thinks he's a starter? This defense looks, I mean, obviously the safeties, yeah, we're a little worried about that, but this defense looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what did we do? We went to Seattle and just shut their run game down. I appreciate the time, guys.
Thanks, Sean. On
the number 10 thing, I think he's talking about Beasley again.
Yeah, Shakir, like a better Beasley.
Beasley wore 10 the first year, and then he was 11 the rest of it.
Who wore 10 most recently after
Trubisky?
Okay, I'll say Shakir's better than Trubisky.
Yeah.
On Shakir, one thing about him.
Did you see the stat from Sal earlier in the week?
About Shakir?
Yeah. His catch percentage. He leads the NFL right now in catch percentage at 94.7. He's number one. The next closest wide receiver is 26th. It goes.
It's all running backs and tight ends.
Shakir and then 24 running backs and tight ends, and then another receiver.
That's probably in part the way that they use him. They're shorter passes, but
still, he's doing better than all the other receivers.
Oh, for sure,
passes.
For sure, testament to his skill.
Yeah,
I am really interested to know what his contract looks like and when they extend him. You could do it right now. Why wait? Next year, you go into the final year of a contract. Right?
Yeah, they could do it today if they wanted.
Right? I have no idea what that money looks like. If you're Shakir, You just keep on keeping on. And when you finish the season with crazy numbers and that crazy efficiency, you say the number starts at what?
Right. If you're Khalil Shakir, what number would you sign up for right now? 17?
It's got to be way more than that.
He's not Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's not Amon-Ra St. Brown.
How many years do you think he signs up for 17? Amon-Ra St. Brown got 30. Shakir.
All right, so we'll meet in the middle at like
23?
22.
Jaylen Waddle got 28.
He's not Jaylen Waddle either.
No, he puts up bigger numbers than Jaylen Waddle.
That's true.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like I kind of don't know where it would go, but anyway. Football Friday. Chris Brown, when we get back. We'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
Extra pressure. Going deep. Has his man. Has Adams. Touchdown.
Jets win. Devontae Adams, touchdown catch. Also being evaluated for a concussion. And Garrett Wilson, a couple nice catches. Two one-handed touchdown catches. The first two one-handed touchdown catches since 2017.
I asked earlier, like, is that something they think they track? And ESPN said, yeah, two one-handed touchdowns in the same game. Yeah. It was the first time since 2017.
They track it. So, anyway. Yeah. Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub, start your game day the Crosby's way. On the Western Hotline, Mr. Chris Brown, who will have the call of the game on Sunday. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
The Dolphins, I mean, maybe they'll look at the Jets last night and say, they saved their season, at least for the time being, and now it's our turn. They probably need this game to save their season.
Yeah, I would anticipate a very desperate Dolphins team coming in here on Sunday. And look, their offense looked every bit like what it was, you know, prior to Tua's injury, at least in terms of what we know them to be, a timing, rhythm-based offense with big play, skilled position players, and they looked like that last week against Arizona. Got their highest point total of the season, 27 points. It wasn't enough to win, but I think that's due mainly to the shortcomings that they have on defense right now with all the injured players out for them, either with season-ending injuries or with temporary injuries that are keeping them out of the lineup.
You know, one thing I wonder about this team, this Miami team gets so many headlines for Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, and Tua, of course, makes it go. But Devon Achane, he's had success against the Bills. I'm looking at his career against the Bills. 6.3 yards per attempt, 8.4 yards per reception, 11 catches on 13 targets. I wonder if we see a real commitment that Miami looks at this matchup and says, our best chance is to, you know, control the clock, but also try to get Achane loose on some explosive plays against the Bills' defense that this year has given up some plays on the ground.
Right. It's interesting you say that because that was the exact game plan in week two, and it didn't work. They went to Devon Achane time and time and time again, trying to get him mismatches in space, hoping that the Bills would not be sound in tackling or in taking on blocks and getting off blocks and making tackles. And the Bills were a very sure tackling team in that game back in week two. I mean, I think Achane was targeted over 10 times.
It's seven catches and was 22 for 96 on the ground, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was the game plan in week two, and the Bills with the turnovers kind of mitigated his effectiveness. But, I mean, it was also lost in the game last year that went 48-20 when the Bills just kind of rang him up on offense. Everybody forgets Devon Achane was running all over the place in that game. I think he had over 100 yards on the ground, had a long run in that game as well. So they did well in, you know, keeping him under wraps in week two. They're going to have to do that again because the Dolphins know going in, Bills aren't going to give them anything over the top, nothing cheap, nothing deep. So they might go right back to Achane, especially with the game he had last week against Arizona.
Yeah, part of that is game script too, right, Chris? Like, I mean, depending on how the game goes for the Bills offensively, kind of depends or can make it dependent on how much you're able to want to run the ball against them. And on that side of it, like the Dolphins, to run it, they might need to keep the game close. And their defense, with these injuries that they're dealing with and just the history between these two teams, it's going to be hard to not feel like the Bills are about to have a great day offensively.
Yeah, they're having trouble stopping people. You know, they're looking a little old and a little slow on the defensive side of the ball. Jordan Brooks has been a nice pickup for them in free agency. He's been a very productive player at the inside linebacker spot. Javon Holland is their best defensive back, though, in the prime of his career, and he may not play because he suffered a knee injury in the game last week against Arizona, did not return, hasn't practiced this week. That would be a huge loss for them. Jalen Ramsey got absolutely torched last week by Marvin Harrison Jr. Trey McBride went off at the tight end position. They didn't have an answer for him. He went over 100 yards. So you look at it and you're like, well, are they going to be able to come up with answers against the Bills receiving corps that's probably every bit as good as Arizona's, if not better and deeper? So it's a problem for them. And the main crux of the problem is you always hear Coach McDermott talk about marrying the pass rush with the coverage. The Dolphins don't have a pass rush. They have 9 sacks in 8 games. I think they're 24th in quarterback knockdowns, 27th in quarterback pressures. They can't get heat on the quarterback. I'm very interested to see if Anthony Weaver decides to roll the dice and call, you know, some simulated pressures, maybe send some extra people, because he's got to help his guys on the back end. They have no pass pressure to speak of.
Chris Brown joining us on the Western Hotline. We played clips last segment from Dolphins defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver on the growth of Keon Coleman from week 2 to now. And Weaver, in that matchup, they had no reason to defend receivers because the Bills didn't throw to them. 5 catches from Shakir, 1 for Samuel. Coleman did not have a catch in that game. And I found it really interesting to hear him talk about the growth in Coleman's game, because this time around, I would expect Coleman to start getting a steady diet of targets, no matter the situation for the Bills.
Yeah, he had 1 target in week 2. But yes, there's been tremendous growth from Coleman. I think from the passing game as a whole. I think people forget 4 of Buffalo's possessions on offense started in Miami territory due to turnovers and a turnover on downs. And the Bills had 4 turnover on downs in that game. So the offense didn't have to do a lot in terms of long, sustained drives. They got a lot of short fields handed to them. They got a defensive score from Ingram. So, you know, they didn't have to do a lot. There wasn't a lot of heavy lifting for the offense. But now, you know, where the passing game has matured to this point, along with an extra addition, Amari Cooper, I think they're a much more difficult offense to defend. And I don't know what they're going to do here, because James Cook went nuts on them in the last game to the tune of 3 touchdowns. You have to believe they're going to be focused on him. But you can't pull your eyes off of this receiving core either, or they're going to burn you. It's a real dilemma for this Dolphins defense.
Do you have anything to compare this rivalry to, Chris? Because it's got to be somewhat rare that not that a team would have dominance like this over another opponent. We saw New England do it to the Bills. We saw the Dolphins do it to the Bills. Bills have done it to others. But to do it to a team that's otherwise been pretty good. I saw yesterday that Tua's record against the AFC East when not playing the Bills is 11-0. Like, he's 11-0 against New England and the Jets, but he's 1-7 against the Bills. So it's almost maybe even more impressive the Bills have had success like this over an opponent that otherwise usually has a winning record.
Yeah, the Bills just flat out are not a good matchup for Miami. Their offense has problems because Buffalo, like I said, is a sure tackling team. So they don't give you a lot of yards after the catch. And they do an excellent job of closing down the middle of the field, where the passing game for the Dolphins usually thrives. So then the only thing for the Dolphins to fall back on is the rushing attack, which, you know, is the Shanahan-style rushing attack, and it's effective in most cases. But the Bills have done a good enough job against that to force them to turn to other things. And if you shut down their big play passing game so they don't have 4 and 5 play drives, they're not going to be able to keep up with Buffalo's offense on the scoreboard. It's a major, major problem, and I don't know that they have great answers. The only answer is going to be force some turnovers to get some extra possessions for your offense. That's probably what they're looking to do, because I heard Anthony Weaver, the defensive coordinator, also say that Josh Allen carries the ball out there like a loaf of bread, and we got to knock that out and worry less about tackling him and more about knocking the ball loose.
Chris Brown. He'll have the call on Sunday, 1 o'clock. Thanks, Chris. See you Sunday.
Take care, guys. Have a good weekend.
His appearance brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. Jeremy and Joe, Sabres are home tonight. You want to guess the dog of the day when we get back?
Let's do it.
I have it. It was sent
you,
to me.
Oh, you haven't?
I haven't. I looked at it.
I will not look at Twitter.
I saw the name.
Okay.
But I did not see the ingredients.
Okay. So the island dog.
Dog of the day, Sabres and Islanders. Black and red game, home tonight. Go beat the Islanders.
It's just going to have Butterfingers on it.
How do you like a weekend sweep? Sabres, Bills. Let's have one. Islanders, Red Wings, Dolphins. Let's go for a sweep.
What kind of odds could I get on that? Sabres. I'm not worried about the Bills part of it.
All right, I'll see if I can parlay it. I'll let you know. Dog of the day next.
Hey, hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
How about the gourmet here? You know what he wanted? Hot dogs.
Okay. Hot dogs, yep.
You know they make those things out of hot shit, you know?
Hot dogs. Get your hot dogs. Hot, hot, hot dogs.
Now, it's time for the dog of the day with Jeremy and Joe.
Sabres game tonight means a hot dog theme. Islanders theme. New York theme. Hot dog.
Okay. If we're going... But I did think about, like, would they kind of deviate from, like, Long Island and just go with the Islanders theme?
Okay.
Because an island dog, to me, sounds like something you'd have, like, pineapple, little slaw on it, something like that.
Okay.
Am I way off? It's not New York. It would be more like just the island part. They probably did New York last year. That's why I'm thinking. Differentiate a little bit. Or you could do it after a player.
All right, I've got the name of the dog for the dog of the day today.
Okay.
A hot dog source has given me permission to release this information. It's the Karate Kid.
What?
It's called the Karate Kid.
Why?
Have you ever seen the Karate Kid?
Yeah.
Okay. Daniel LaRusso moves from New York out to California. It's the Karate Kid.
Okay.
He was from New Jersey, wasn't he?
Oh, wait, you weren't talking about the Jackie Chan, Jaden Smith one? I'm kidding.
I gotta go. The what? The Karate
Kid. Did you see the remake?
No,
the remake was not bad.
No,
it wasn't bad.
I did not.
The original is amazing. Okay, they moved to Long Island? Or to New York?
They moved to California.
From New York.
Yeah. Daniel LaRusso.
Karate Kid dog is gonna have... Well, karate...
Meanwhile, I've never seen Cobra Kai. I haven't watched any of it. Everyone says it's so great.
Yeah, me too. Same.
The hot dog is going to have slices in it like a karate chop.
All right.
Oh, it's a
Daniel
great
LaRusso
guess.
Was born in Newark.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway.
They could do the LaRusso dog.
The
when,
fictional Daniel the LaRusso character would be, I'm looking at doing the math here, 58. Ralph Macchio is an Islanders fan, goes to games. Thank you, Chris Brown, for that. All right, now we know. The Karate Kid himself, Ralph Macchio, is an Islanders fan.
That's a good get then by the Sabres for knowing that.
Yes, it is.
Okay. But what would it... I like your guess with the chops in it.
I don't think it's going to be chopped.
Why?
Not like all the way through.
Yeah,
like half chops.
Yes, right. Half. Like the dog is still together. There are just slices in it.
All right.
You know like when you're like seasoning a steak or something and you... Do little slices in it to get
sure.
the seasonings into the steak. Do it with a hot dog.
Karate. It's going to be a spicy hot dog.
Would they ever make spider dogs? You ever seen those?
I know them as octopus dogs.
Okay, same. Yeah.
Like you'd make it look like an octopus.
This dog is going to have flies on it that they got with chopsticks. Killed with chopsticks.
Capicola, salami, provolone, red onion, tomato, romaine, oregano, vinaigrette.
There was a little
like an Italian themed.
Was a little off on my guesses of pineapple slaw and flies.
Those were bad guesses. They say
and
there
chops.
Are no bad bad. No, they are bad guesses.
These are bad guesses.
That's like on Family Feud, and you said it. And
good, answer,
like,
yeah, good answer.
Good answer. Good answer.
This is a bad answer.
Yeah. That's a bad answer. All right, 803-0550 our number. We have the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy when we return. Also coming up at 9:30. We're going to chat with Aaron Cook. Who is that, you say? Aaron Cook is Lieutenant Colonel Aaron Cook, Director of Operations for the 9th Airlift Squadron out of Dover, who will be flying, as part of the crew, the C-5 Galaxy over Highmark on Sunday. So it'll be a series of questions like, so really, how big is that plane?
Yeah.
That'll be us.
Give us another way of telling us how big
really,
it is.
Like, how big is it? So that's what's coming up. Final hour here. And then Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sean McDermott joins Sal Capaccio as part of that, as always happens on Football Friday. So, Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law, Car Crash, Call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.